Now from Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz, very much indeed. And well done for getting those names right. Well done. Well, good morning. We are continuing our sermon, our series, about guidance. We're continuing our Alpha series, and today we are learning about guidance. I'll get there in the end. And when I was kind of preparing for this, my mind was taken back to the time when Nigel and I got a new-to-us car, and soon afterwards we had a trip to Nottingham. Now, Nigel is actually a hardcore ordnance survey map man. So we kind of agreed that we would navigate via map from Salisbury to Nottingham, but once we got to Nottingham, we would switch on the sat-nav, put in the hotel postcode, and seamlessly drive to the hotel. Can you imagine where this story is going? So, what happened, of course, is... Can you just press... Lovely, thank you very much. That's the map. Next one. Have I got a... I'm so sorry. Before I carry on, do I have a clicker, or are you going to do the slides for me? I forgot to ask you, so sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, and guidance, you know, it's quite a thing, isn't it? Thank you so much, Callum. Sorry. Okay, now we're going to go seamlessly together. So for Zoom and here. So do I go? Oh, there we go. Great, here we go. So we're taken, are you still with me? We're taken into Nottingham city centre, and what we end up going round and round the one-way system because the sat-nav wants to take us up roads that have been pedestrianised or blocked off or something like that. And very quickly, this is the temperature in the car. Ooh. Sorry. Have I been pressing mad? Yeah. Oh, I've spoilt the story now, haven't I? This is the temperature in the car. Until we just think, okay, let's just stop right now, switch off the machine, use a bit of common sense, ask somebody directions to the hotel, and then happily. We arrive at the hotel, and before you know what, we're relaxing. I think the point of that little story is that we needed to find different ways of guiding us to the hotel. So I just wondered if you would like to turn to somebody who's sitting not too far from you and just think of the... thank you very much. Think of a situation, or perhaps any situation, where you needed some guidance or instruction. Just a couple of minutes to talk amongst yourselves. And maybe those on Zoom, you can just write something in the chat. Well, I guess there are times, aren't there, when sometimes the guidance can be kind of fairly light-hearted and trivial, and other times when we really do need to hear some wisdom. But never mind the kind of jokes about gender and asking for guidance. There is something that can cause us angst, isn't there? I think it's often we come from a place of vulnerability. When we're kind of wanting really to know if we can trust the person we're asking, whether we can interpret the guidance that we're given. And I think that guidance that we receive from God is actually no different. When I mentioned to my friends that I was preaching on this subject today, there was an interesting reaction, kind of dual reaction really. One, their eyes lit up with interest. It was like, oh wow, that's a good one, isn't it? There's something in our hearts that is just wanting to know how God guides us. But also there was kind of a little groan sometimes as well, as though, oh my goodness, it can be so hard to know. And certainly I would say that is my experience in my life, that how God guides me is something that I've had to grapple with over the years. So I wanted to begin with two truths that I saw in our Romans text, that actually the basis for how God guides us is the fact that we are in a loving relationship with him, and that we receive that love through faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have the Spirit of God within us and leading us. The first section of chapter 8 in Romans, Paul is basically saying that those who believe in Jesus Christ have received the Spirit of God. He uses metaphors like dead and alive as he urges us to realize that, you know, this is a game changer. We are now never alone. We have God's Spirit within us. We are led by the Spirit as children of God. We belong to him. We can call this Lord God Almighty our Father. That's the intimacy of the relationship. And it's possible to know this deep down in our hearts, in our own spirits. So this then is the basis on which we approach this whole topic of guidance, knowing that we are loved by and belong to God, knowing that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So, how might we hear God? I think I have, over the years, come to see that it's, for me anyway, a helpful picture to see that God's guidance is less like a preordained blueprint for my life, for our lives, that is strictly defined, and if I miss a step, or you miss a step, then we're off track, and we just have to scurry back as best we can to find this blueprint again. It's less like that, and more like a partnership in a creative adventure where God, humanity, and creative order all work together in many different ways. So with this in mind, I want to go back to the Acts story that Liz read to us. And without wishing to appear irreverent, I'm just going to use a little bit of creative license and talk about it as though it was actually happening kind of step by step. We're not reading it in hindsight. I've lost track of where I am with the... Oh, good-o, we're on track. So I want to start with Paul, first of all, and his character. I think we can glean from the New Testament that Paul is a passionate, single-minded man with some fire in his belly. He's a preacher, he's a teacher, he's not very good at grammar, but he loves to share and argue his views with people. And now God is embracing all of that and leading him to spread the news of Jesus Christ through that area. God uses who we are. I am not meant to be like you, and praise God, you are not meant to be like me. God uses us and our own personalities for his purposes. That's where he starts with guiding us. So, if you're not very nimble on your feet, you're probably not going to be guided by God to be a dancer, Tom. Just saying. Sorry, Tom. I just happened to catch your eye there. So, the second thing. Paul was expectant. With some mates, he was traveling around and he was preaching the gospel wherever he could. He was on the move. He's open, he's expectant. He's just looking, where can I go next? And there's something here about it kind of being easier to steer a moving ship than one that is in the harbour. So maybe one way in which God can guide us is for us to be expectant, to keep moving, maybe trying different things. It's easier to find that open door if you keep trying them. Sensible practice. Paul is not alone. He's with some mates. He's not off running around, what area is that, the Far East, on his own as some maverick preacher. He's got folks around him. He's in a team. He's supported. You know what? There's a little bit of wisdom there. As human beings, we are social animals. We are meant to be with one another. And maybe that's one of the ways in which God can guide us. I quite like this one, Hunch and Circumstance. I thought it sounded like a piece of music. No, Pomp and Circumstance, Hunch and Circumstance. Yeah, real tough crowds, yeah. Hope you're not lost. I can guide you if you are. So, Paul and one of his mates, somebody in that little gang, had a little bit of a hunch about going to the province of Asia. But what we're told is that they were kept by the Holy Spirit. Now, what I think in reality that meant is that they couldn't get visas and they just couldn't go through the border. Circumstance stopped them. So they were like, okay, what should we do now? I know, let's go to Bithynia. So off they go, trying to get to Bithynia. But as we read, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. What I think actually happened is that there was a bit of a virus going on there, and Bithynia weren't letting anybody in. Circumstance stopped them going there. And you know, I think there is every potential for the mood at that time amongst those chaps was a really low point. They were frustrated, they did not know what was happening, they didn't know where to go. What was God trying to do? What they wanted to do and thought was God's plan simply was not happening. This is a really low point. I've had a few of those in my life. What am I supposed to do? I keep trying things. Nothing seems to work out. And I think it's possible to get really stuck at this point. And this is where we need to remember who we are. We need to remember at this point the bit in Romans. This is who we are. We are children of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have a promise that the Holy Spirit will lead us as children of God. We do not need to fear because we are loved and we belong to God. Hunch and the Holy Spirit. Well, we're told Paul had a vision where he saw a man saying, come on over to Macedonia. I think the amazing thing about this is that Paul could remember in the morning what his vision was in the night. So, there's something here about something, when something inexplicable happens, something odd that you actually can't quite put logic to understand. But there's something inside of you that thinks, I think this might be God. And that feeling just starts to grow. And it grew in Paul until, over breakfast, he shared it with his mates. I think there are times when it's important. I was thinking for me just recently, you know, I've gone on this massive whole priesthood journey, and there are undoubtedly times when I think, dear Lord, what have I done? And what I do is I go back and think, and I reflect, and actually, very sensibly, I've written some things down, and I can go back and just remind myself, do you know, there were some supernatural things that happened that were part of my journey, and when I doubt, I'll read them. And I'll remember, and I'll think, yes, okay, I'll carry on. So, over breakfast, whatever they have there, chickpeas probably, Paul and his mates discuss over breakfast Paul's vision. And it says they came to the conclusion that God had called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. There's something here about God guiding when we surround ourselves and talk to people whom we trust. You do have to be careful who you talk to. It needs to be people that you trust. But there's something here that this is how God can guide us. Common sense. So, they pack up their bags, they go off to Macedonia. Now, this is a really long journey, it's overseas. And of course, in those days, it all took a terribly long time, and it was probably very uncomfortable. When they arrive in Philippi, They poodle around for a few days. It says, we stayed there for a few days. So they're just having a little bit of sightseeing. And do you know, that is such a sensible thing to do. They were tired. They were probably they needed a bath. They needed to look after themselves. And common sense is a way that God can speak to us, because actually, we have been given responsibility to look after ourselves in body, mind, and spirit. I do remember a time when I was in the process of buying a house on my own for the first time, and it was a bit nerve-wracking. So I was praying, as you do, you know, oh God, give me a house, please. I don't know where to live. I don't know where to go. And I felt really strongly that God just said, do you know what, Mary? You can live where you like. As long as you don't overstretch yourself financially, as long as you continue living with me, you can live in any road in Bristol you like. And I was like, oh my goodness, how exciting. Do you know, I just had some freedom and I had some responsibility to use my common sense. I love common sense. I ask for it regularly. What's this? Oh, pray and read the Bible, yeah. That's always a good one, isn't it? So, what happened? We're told in this story, on the Sabbath, they went to the river looking for a place to pray. And I think that we would add reading the Bible too. There's something here, isn't there, about a spiritual discipline. We need to keep connected with God. We need to keep talking to Him. We need to keep coming to church. We need to keep talking to our Christian friends. We need that spiritual discipline that keeps us in a place where we might get to hear God. So they're down by the river. They bump into a bunch of women, and so, of course, they were chatting about their life and faith in Jesus Christ. And my goodness, this is it, isn't it? This is the sort of end of the journey. They've gone from not knowing where to go and what to do, a whole series of travel and kind of miscommunication maybe, and they've had the opportunity here to share the gospel, and the women believe, and Lydia and her whole household get baptized. They have a fantastic time of friendship, and even better, Lydia offers them a place to live. So, and it's, she sounds quite a rich lady, dealer in purple cloth, big house. I'm sure it was a lovely house. And Paul and his mates are like, fantastic. And I like to think it's at this point that they look back on their journey. And that's when they put into the story, we were kept by the Holy Spirit from going to the province of Asia. And later, the Spirit of Jesus stopped us going from Bithynia. It's when we reflect back and with hindsight that we can really see, oh, of course we weren't meant to go to that province of Asia. Of course we're now in Philippi, and look, people are responding to the gospel of Jesus. This is it. Oh, of course, it's in the looking back that we can see. And then I think there's Lydia's point of view. Lydia and her friends were just doing what they always do. And suddenly, on one particular Sabbath, they met this group of men who told them something about Jesus Christ that changed their life forever. They were worshippers of God, but somehow, for Lydia, it all came into being and into sharp focus, and she got baptized, and she gave her life to Jesus, and it was absolutely amazing. What Lydia was doing was responding to what might be a coincidence. Somebody might call it a coincidence. But actually, she embraced that coincidence, and she said, hey, guys, come back to my house. Come and stay for a while. So there's something about God guiding us in ways where we embrace coincidence, even if we don't always invite strange men back to our house. Surprise. So I just wanted to say here at the end that I really enjoyed opening up this passage like this. I loved thinking about the different ways that God could guide us. But I am the first one here to say that there are many other ways in which God guides us, and maybe you're even thinking of them now. It is absolutely not a complete list. We are all learning, and we all hopefully are continuing to learn what it means for God to guide us. What I wanted to show in this story is that the reality of our lives lived with God are rarely straightforward. We are complex beings living in a complex world that tests our faith and trust in God. We make mistakes. There are constant tweaks and adjustments in our walk with Him that needs to happen. But I want you to take heart and take those truths from Romans that we are loved by God. We belong to God. We have His Spirit within us, leading us on. And actually, in my life, with all the ups and downs and the twists and turns, I can honestly say there is no other path I would rather be on than every day just wanting to seek God and see what does He have in store today. The amazing thing is because we belong to God and He belongs to us, this story always has a great ending. Amen.